Gilliam, and you're listening to Reawakening Minds. Sometimes you just have to laugh to keep from crying. So for those of you who have continued to hold on, I know we have an excellent show tonight. We had some technical difficulties. One is calling from 804, and one is calling, I don't even know.
917.
Let me go back and see if I can pull this up now, because I sent this. All right. The phone numbers are 917 657-5099 and 804-432-6038.
We have guest area code 804, last 4-6038. Are you on the line?
Yes, 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 I am.
All right, you're the doctor's guest tonight.
All right, this is Brother Saladin.
I'm trying to get the doc on here so he can hear you too.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, your guest is on live.
Okay, there seems to be a slight echo, but I guess we can just roll with it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we got one more guest to bring on.
Okay. This is Brother Saladin.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your patience. And your candor.
It's all good.
I'm gonna learn what I'm doing. I can do this myself.
It's all right,
Sister,
Doctor.
Sister Jenair, is she
yes,
on the
I'm
line
here.
Yet?
Yeah,
hi,
I'm here.
Sister. Listen, I may not give a long introduction because the world has heard the behind-the-scenes ravings and rantings of me trying to figure out how to get my show on the air without my normal producer. And I thank Sister L for jumping in because I was about to throw in the towel or complain and everybody would hear it for 2 hours. So I just want to welcome everybody to Reawakening Minds, particularly the listeners who are listening for the first time. Let me give a disclaimer. This is not the way it's normally done, but we do appreciate you, those who have held on, staying on the line, because it's going to be an awesome show, particularly those of you who already are familiar with tonight's guest. For those who don't know, my name is Dr. Nayula Bakari-Gilliam, and I am the host of Reawakening Minds, which is an offshoot of the House of Reawakening Minds, which is a holistic center located in the state of Delaware. But tonight, my guest, Brother Saladin Assad, who is a writer, director, and an independent film and music producer, and he has his own style, connected vision, film works. He does a lot of things, but a lot of you may be familiar with the documentary film that he has co-written and directed and co-produced, Urban Kryptonite, African Roots, Foreign Diseases. He's also the creator and executive producer of Solitude, which is an internet-based radio podcast show that embraces taking a unique and artistic approach to offering informative and stimulating content to the masses, just like we do here on Reawakening Minds and High Frequency Radio Network. And also I want to welcome to the show, and I do apologize because I don't know what I do with my piece of paper with all of the wonderful information about Sister Janair, Miss J-Girl Bailey, but she is a health researcher and a blogger, and she just advises folks on how to live healthy, eat healthy, think healthy. She does a lot of great things, and tonight I have aptly entitled tonight's segment, Get Your Health Together, Mind, Body, and Spirit. I want to welcome Brother Saladin, Sister Janair, to Reawakening Mind. Welcome.
The pleasure. Welcome. The pleasure is all mine. The pleasure is all mine, Doctor. How are you?
Listen, I'm good now. I'm laughing. I'm trying to figure out if one of my astrologer friends, I don't know which any of you are into astrology. Can you tell me what aspect we're under? Is it another one of those, what do you call it, when things go haywire? But we're here. So
all right. It's all good.
Thank you for hanging in there. Listen, let's just get right down to it. Life is good. It's a good medicine, don't you think?
Absolutely.
So I want to talk about what's going on from the standpoint of consciousness, holistic living, why it's important for us in this day and age in 2015 to look at life totally different, and jump right in. Whatever your thoughts you may have, right now I'm trying to collect mine because I'm a little frustrated, flustered, so I'm coming back down to earth. But I know, Brother Saladin, you can get it started.
It's all good. What I'm going to do the gentlemanly thing, and Queen Latifah and Moni Love made a song back in the day called Ladies First. And to those who are not familiar, we do have Janair, Miss J Girl Bailey. Now, this is the individual who's responsible for turning me on to the holistic lifestyle. So, Miss J Girl, are you online still?
Yes, I am.
Let the world know who you are.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's an honor to be here.
Go ahead and elaborate on that for the good people.
I think there is a shift going on multiple levels. I think things are speeding up. I think a lot of what was in the dark is being brought to light. I think we're in a space as Black people that it is sink or swim. If we don't hurry up and get our collective shit together, individually and collectively, we are going to be up a creek without a paddle, so to speak. Not just in terms of economic empowerment, but our health, our mindset, healing from past trauma, how we treat the environment. All of these things are like clashing all together and intermingling with each other.
And I agree with you. And is it true, because you elaborated, you point out the fact Black people. So is it perhaps incorrect to assume that we tend to stick our heads in the sand about things that maybe other groups may be more attentive to that are very important for us in this day and time?
Well, I think what the issue is, I think when you look at the Black experience globally, or even if you narrow it down to what's happened in the U.S. and the Caribbean and what's happened to us collectively for an extended period of time, I think we've been conditioned to be very passive. We've been put in this space where we're looking for someone to come save us, whether it's white baby Jesus swooping down from the sky or whether it's looking for the next leader, when we need to save our damn selves. Like, we need to stop looking to be led and be the change that we wish to see. And I know Gandhi was a piece of dirt and bubblegum on the bottom of our shoes because he was a racist, but I guess that's just the best way to put it. Like, part of making a shift is that you have to start with you first, and people seeing what you're doing because you're what you want to happen, you're bringing it into existence by not just speaking it but taking action. People tend to become intrigued by that, inspired by that, and then they start to have changes. I think one of the biggest problems with black people, we think it has to be a huge group of us all on the same page when a lot of changes just tend to be grassroots. If you just get a handful of us together, like 3 to 5 in one area and another 3 to 5, another couple blocks down, another 3 to 5 where everybody is somehow on the same page with starting a business or getting their health together or whatever, when you're able to pull resources together, even on that small of a level, it's a start towards something as opposed to waiting for us all to get on the same page. That's not going to happen because there's never been a point in history, even when we were traveling, white folks left us alone, where we were all exactly on the same page because we just have too many things in relation to the continent of Africa with there being so many countries and customs and cultures and dialects and languages that, you know, people weren't necessarily of the same accord, you know, then. So
I hear what you're saying. But I want to say this, and I heard it said, and I tend to agree because of experience that while you said a small group is better than, you know, trying to wait for the large group to come together, which will never happen, I want to even bring it down to a little more myopic level and say it starts with the individual because sometimes that one person, you know, so if it doesn't start with me, you know what I mean, I've got to be the center of my own universe, so to speak, the master of my own fate, you know, and decide what it is that I'm going to allow it or to create as and call it my reality. And if by chance in so doing I interact with you and we seem to be vibing on the same level, then hey,
that's right.
Then we start to, you know, move together. But I think even waiting for one other person sometimes would be detrimental. Do it yourself. What does it say? Physician, heal thyself? You know?
Yes.
And we've got to start with self.
Yes, and you know, we made a very good point.
Yeah.
In regards to the group, what I really meant, I'll give you an example with my personal life. What has happened with me is because I've been working on myself, energetically I've been drawing people that would be for my greater good to me. So in my instance, like, I'm surrounded by people who are entrepreneurs. Opportunities have been falling in my lap to allow me to do those things I desire because in working on myself and being fixated on what I want to accomplish to help humanity and my people as a whole, through being that change by myself, it draws the right people to me to further push that goal forward, if that makes sense. So what you're saying
makes
a lot of sense. Yeah.
Absolutely, and I think that's where people fall short. Go ahead, Brother Saladin.
No, I was just going to elaborate. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, I think what everybody is looking for, in my humble opinion, is true freedom. Freedom of expression, freedom of lifestyle, and most importantly, economical freedom. You know, when we were making this film, Urban Kryptonite, we didn't know the outcome of things. But one thing that I did see in common, man, is that, you know, we got a lot of people that want to be kings, and we got a lot of men that want to be kings and women that want to be queens. Well, there's a certain responsibility, and we always talk about this conscious community thing, right? And, you know, I'm actually getting a little annoyed with the word because I believe that if you're allowed to wake up and open your eyes, you're already conscious. So, you know, what me and my good brother Coach East talk about is what is called the self-accountability community. Because that's what it takes when we talk about this individual thing. The work starts with us. And it really, there's a whole lot of work that doesn't require any money. And that's as far as dealing with the power of intent. And when you have good intention, you're going to do the best or you're going to require the best for yourself, and then you're going to draw with that internal gravity the best to you. I've experienced this myself. We got a lot of guys out here that say, hey, man, I want my queen to come home and she should do this and do that. But, bro, you got to be able to take this woman off this 9 to 5. Don't speak to me about economics. Don't speak to me about economics. Don't speak to me about hotep this, hotep that. If you can't free your woman, if you can't free yourself, you know, that's where it starts. It starts with us being able to grasp what we learn, to humble ourselves and get out of our own ways to be open to the freedom. And that freedom's going to take work. It's going to take cutting down some of the party and the bullshit. And all this talking, because people are doing a lot of talking right now. But as we know, you know, You know, a lot of people can talk, but it really takes a special few that are willing to deliver. And that's what it's all about right now. We're in a time of acceleration. This is not the time to be talking. This is not the time to be having 101 meetings. I align myself with people that are about doing. You know, let's talk after it's done, when we're celebrating and when we're in festive mode and when we're reaping the benefits or the fruits of our labor. Let's talk then. But right now, this is not the time to be gathering around holding up signs and talking. People need to put foot to the pedal.
Absolutely, absolutely. It is you know, we're talking about get your health together, mind, body, and spirit. So that takes in a lot. That takes in so much. Let's start with the mind, because we're kind of talking about that. You know, how we think of ourselves. I know for a fact, as an individual, because you know we're bringing it down to the individual level. As an individual, you can begin to change your whole life. You can reverse aging, and you can reverse disease, and you can reverse things such as depression and disorders that have been put on us or labeled. We've been labeled by, you know, the system. Because one of the things a very dear friend of mine always said about a system is the system is designed to benefit the creator of the system. And so, you know,
absolutely.
We got all kinds of absolutely. You know, no systems actually. Anybody who gets in the system is a victim of the system. It does. I've come to that conclusion. So we got to come to the to the place where we make a decision as to what we are going to accept as our reality when it comes to our health, for instance, and what we think about our health. So I begin to think differently about myself and have turned the clock back so far that nobody believes, for instance, for me, that I'm the age that I am. But the interesting thing about that is that I was up all night listening to a Caucasian OBGYN who's kind of holistic, and she has this thing about being an ageless goddess. And the interesting thing, you know, because I'm not going to try to steal anybody's thunder, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. But one of the things she talked about was the fact that if you look at the people, the five, and you've heard this before, the five closest people to you, would the average of those people determine your health, your wealth, your weight, a lot of things that we do and the mindset that we in, the people that we have around us, there is a pattern. And so let's talk about that, because when we start to talk about, you know, who's my boy, who's my, you know, I'm down with you, sometimes you got to back up off of, with some people sometimes. If you want to go somewhere, you've got to go somewhere different. You sometimes have to sever or loosen, if you will, soften relationships in order to put yourself in the position to be able to achieve whatever it is you want to achieve. If you are the most affluent person in your so-called quote-unquote circle, that's a problem.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
You also shouldn't be the smartest person in your circle.
Or the smartest, or the healthiest. Health's good. But there should always be, you know, an up, and there's somebody you're pulling up, and you're being pulled up.
Yeah, I think it has to do, Doctor, with people just realizing exactly the impact that their actions have on everything around them and other people. You know, like we've been taught to be, you know, we've been conditioned to be selfish, you know. And I say that because your legacy is determined on the works that you put in prior to, which means that whatever your name is, that's all you have before the money, before the fame, before the health, whatever. All you have is your integrity as a person. Case in point, you know, there are certain people that may get a certain job or position based on the work that their parents put in or that their mother or their father put in. You have some people that might not even hire some people. They might be like, okay, you better be glad that Nyla's your mother. Because if it wasn't for that woman, your ass would have been out of here. Or you better be glad that, you know, that was your father. You know, we have to understand that just like when you're, you know, if you're planning on having children in a family, your works and everything that you do, especially in this transparent social media age, this follows you. And it can also follow and affect your children. You know, so when we're talking about overall health, this is something that can be degeneratively hereditary, as they want to say, or it can be positively hereditary, which means that if you have a good name, if you do good things for yourself, if people see you and you're always implying healthy relationships, whether it's business partnerships, whether it's financially, or whether it's just your integrity as a person doing things that you say you're going to do, I think that's what makes the difference, because a lot of our children now are suffering because of work that was not put in back in the day by their predecessors. You know, there's no need that we should see young black girls getting, you know, tossed around like a rag doll and knees put in their back at a pool party.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lack of structure. You know, if some of the forefathers or the ancestors or whoever would have, the predecessors would have put in the work necessary to correct these type of injustices for happening, and there to be some recourse, some brutal recourse. I mean, you don't see this happen with the, if that would have been a Jewish young lady, this would have been a whole different media project.
Absolutely.
Even if that would have been a gay or lesbian or whatever, anything outside of the African-American community. So when Jameer was talking about, no, we don't have to be all on the same page, but I do agree that there has to be some rules of engagement when we're dealing with each other,
absolutely.
Whether it be in business, whether it be in health, and all the way down to whether it be in relationships, you know.
And when you talk about how we begin to engage, let's talk about how our community, when it comes down to valuing what each other brings to the table. Unfortunately, oftentimes we devalue one another, but yet we will, you know, for instance, if you know, I was talking about a conference, and I said, you know, if I did this conference and did this motivational speaking thing, and I said, you know what, I want everybody to go, so I'm going to charge $50 a ticket for this thing because I want everybody to be able to afford it. They'll look at that and say, it can't be worth anything. It's only $50. Somebody else posts something, it's $275 a ticket. Maybe the exact same thing. It's another persuasion. They've got, you know, bells and whistles. We'll post, we'll at least consider, try to figure out how we can rob Peter to be able to pay for that. But we value each other. And then we, in an attempt, if you will, to try to get us to do it, we devalue ourselves.
Absolutely. Dehudi Mott-Ra has actually talked about that a lot. He's referred to it as poverty consciousness. And what has happened in our community is that, and I know that the residues of it are from post-traumatic slave syndrome, there is something encoded in many of our DNA that we don't think, no matter how hard somebody has worked and sacrificed and made or done the due diligence to create a product or a service, that it's worth what they charge. But we will go to an Arab person, an Asian person, a Jewish person, a white person, and we will pay 10 times more for the exact same thing. I've noticed
absolutely.
It with, like, people I've worked with, where, like, for instance, with me, I've been natural for over a decade, and part of what I try to do is most of the stuff I use on my hair is handmade by black vendors. Well, when you start telling people about the stuff, most people don't know what it takes to make a handmade product. Like, the reason that Procter & Gamble stuff is so cheap, number one, it's toxic. Number two, they have multi-billion dollar research labs that are devoted just to research and development, and they've been open forever, which is how they're able to pass those savings on. When you're dealing with these black handmade vendors, a lot of them are starting out in their kitchens, making small batches of stuff, making mistakes along the way where it's product just got to be thrown in the garbage or whatever else. You know, they can't buy drums of product like a Procter & Gamble where they can buy tons upon tons of ingredients, and it's being made in small batches, which to me is very special. But for some people, they'll want, oh, that costs too much. Or these same people, you know, they have
Michael
Kors bags, they have Jordans, they have red bottoms. And when you say something to them about getting a Blendtec, a Vitamix, or a Ninja, oh, that's too expensive. Like, you're going to look pretty in your casket. Like, you're going to look beautiful in your casket because that's what you're working towards. Because
a beautiful corpse.
What you put in your mouth and on your body should take precedence over clothing. You can get cute designer clothing from the thrift store. You can buy shoes from the outlet. You can, dressing nice is not predicated upon a designer's name. You can put together outfits and be stylish without wearing designer garb. You can buy inexpensive clothing that does not look cheap. And what I think is that because we don't value ourselves, we don't value our counterparts. And I hate to use the crab in a barrel thing, but, you know, a lot of us are broken and we hate ourselves so much, we then try to impose that on others. I have friends that are business owners that have businesses on Etsy, and they tell me that they get inboxes from these black people on Etsy. When it's somebody black, they always want you to throw in something extra or for free or a hookup. And then they say when they deal with white people buying their stuff, you know, they chunk out the money and they'll ask about having something made customer extra, and it's no beef. And we have to have a code of conduct and rules of engagement, as Saladin said, because one of the rules of that creed should be you shouldn't be trying to ask for the damn hookup. That's really disrespectful.
I concur.
I agree with you, sis, on that. And I want to say this. I appreciate your candor. I appreciate your directness. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, people want to pull punches and sugarcoat. But life is not, you know, pulling punches. We are being body slammed. And we have to look at things for, you know, exactly the way they are. Sometimes they have to come like that in order for people to say, you know, to have some indignation about it. And then after a while they wake up and realize, hey, you know, he is right, she is right. And I do need to, you know, think of myself and my people, or, you know, my legacy, what legacy I'm leaving, think of it a lot different. And you know, like I said, you mentioned social media, Brother Saladin, when you were talking about how we just, you know, we have to be mindful of that. And that's another area, you know, in deals with, to me, the mind, the body, and the spirit of what we do. And, you know, while I use social media to, you know, post all my little, you know, what I'm doing with my, you know, this and that and the other, I'm also cognizant of the fact that it is a tool which is a part of, again, the system.
Absolutely.
And that there's a part of it that really is promoting buffoonery, if you will, and ridiculousness from you know, people who look like me and my children, and we have to think before we post certain things. I mean, I just don't know sometimes what people are thinking of, or if they're thinking at all, when I see some of the things that are there. You know what I mean? Because, again, it's a system. I mean, it seemed like it was fun, but we must not forget that the Internet was not created initially to be this social media thing.
Absolutely
it had a
not.
More, you know, clandestine, if you will, purpose. So the fact that now we've been drawn into the net of the web, if you will, this matrix, we have to think in terms of what is the end result of this? Because it's definitely being used against us. You might apply for the job, but trust me, the potential employer is probably going to check your Facebook page and whatever else you got, whatever you're posting on Instagram and whatever you're putting up there, and that's going to determine not only, you know, once you, you know, whether you'll get the job, but even after you get the job, they will check on you, and it may determine whether you stay or go, whether how far you go, how high you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are thinking, how can we get that message across? Particularly, I mean, I can't even say to our young people, because it's all people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as we can see via social media, age does not denote wisdom. You know, we have a lot of people that are in their 40s and 50s acting a fool, twerking, giving up the ghost for Jesus on social media, just like people in their late teens and 20s, you know. But what I think that needs to happen is this is where the health thing comes in to me, because the reason I put so much emphasis on it, you know, I tell people, eat what you want to eat. There was a time I used to go back and forth, you know. My main thing is balance at this point. My main thing is balance, because once you understand the chemicals, you understand how they affect you, and you understand that some of these unnecessary arguments, distractions and why you can't think straight and why you're easily irritated, why you're addicted to sex, you're getting caught out there, is because of your diet. You know, a lot of times we look at things that we did back in the day and we're like, man, I was so stupid, man. If I would have known this now, man, I regret doing that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to look at, well, what were we consuming when this was going on? When we made these decisions, what were we drinking? What were we putting in our body? Well, was it alcohol? Were we smoking weed? Were we dealing with a whole lot of negative people? Were we running with people that was of the behavior that was leading to our demise? All of that is a part of nutrition.
Also,
people
what
think
were you reading and what were you
diet.
Watching?
Right,
what were you
yeah.
reading
people
and
think
watching, too?
Just, yeah. People think that it's just a diet, but what type of music were you listening to? You know,
mm-hmm.
what type of fragrances were you using? You know,
mm-hmm.
all of this stuff is nutrition. It's not just what's on your plate. It's what
mm-hmm.
you're intaking to your mind, body, and spirit. And there are some people and some places or some things that can totally cloud your aura from receiving a blessing. So when I talk about, and just to bring it back home, about people wanting to be free and going to be free or going through the process to be free, you act, if you don't see that happening for you and you're somewhere where you don't want to be, then you have to start the process of elimination. And just like the good brother Tootie Mavra talks about, you know, that's taking some of these things that have led you to a certain point and reversing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what education is. If you're a woman and you have suffered from fibroid tumors, don't go up to the doctor because all they've been trained to do is treat symptoms and cut you up.
Cut
you up.
You understand? So now, don't get me wrong. If I get shot, don't send me to the health store for no damn herbs. Give me some. I need some medicine at that point. You understand what I'm saying? But there's a lot of these things that can be reversed by attitudes, by behaviors, by getting out and reversing some of these addictive personalities. Because the war ain't no more with the guns. You know, the war is in the judicial system, and the war is right on your plate. It's called the Food and Drug Administration for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to worry about them placing a microchip in you. The microchip might be in your damn macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, they're already putting nanoparticles in food and cosmetics. That's one of the big things that I consider to be one of my specialties when I do consultations. I don't just handle food like Saladin says. Like, I look at what you're putting on your body, because a lot of what's not being talked about and is highly controversial is these chemicals called endocrine disruptors. And what is happening is that a lot of what's going on with our children, you know, they're not being breastfed anymore. A lot of women are perceiving vaginal deliveries as inconvenient, or they're being played by their doctors that they need a cesarean when really they don't. Because I have a friend that's a labor and delivery nurse, and some of the shit, if I told y'all what she tells me, y'all will be traumatized. We are going to have to go back to home birth unless you are a high-risk pregnancy. These hospitals are dangerous. These doctors are coming in to do deliveries. They're high. They're drunk. They're sexual deviants. They're funneling these women, and they're sitting up there thinking about pushing out a baby. Y'all are going in these hospitals. They're laden with germs that are resistant to antibiotics and Lysol and whatever else they use to clean the hospital up. And you're entrusting an environment where people are sick and dying to deliver your baby, deliver you a healthy baby. And this is why somewhere like the United States has a horrid infant mortality rate in comparison to so-called third world countries. And with these endocrine disruptors, that's why you're starting to see a lot more with birth defects. You're seeing
right.
women having all kinds of problems with hormone imbalances. I'm walking down the street. I see someone from behind. I can't tell whether it's a man or woman. I'm seeing men
mm-hmm.
with boobs where we could go to Victoria's Secret and both shop for a bra. I'm seeing effeminate behaviors in men. I'm seeing women
right.
become more masculine and more yang. And these things are tied to stuff like that you clean your house with. You think certain perfumes smell good. You're spraying it on you. They're saying with funeral homes now, they use less chemicals to embalm you because you're eating so much McDonald's and whatever else, you're pre-embalming yourself. Like, it's not a game out here. I wish people would stop playing around and realize playtime is over. It's done.
Absolutely.
It's a new day.
That's right. And like I said, you know, the universe is, and your body is always looking to balance. It's always looking to balance. Even if you're not being balanced, your body, just your natural body intelligence is looking to balance you out. So what we got to understand is just the law of nature. If you are a woman and you're subjected to an environment where you don't have a strong, dominant male figure, then your body's going to say, hey, we need to pump up hormones. We got to make her tough. So in essence, now you see the women, they start getting the hair on their chest. Their voice get a lot deeper. So in essence, you start to become the man of your dreams. You and just like with women, you know, if you, you know, just like with the men, if you don't have the woman there, if you're absent of that female, that yin energy, as they put it in a tantric term, you know, you start becoming, and your body says, okay, we need to, okay, the seeing you is the dick in years, okay, he's not making any babies, so we need to take this testosterone down, and you start to become the woman of your dreams, or what we call, most people would call bitch ass, you know, and that's imbalance. That is imbalance. You know, let's
wow.
stop fronting on each other. Men need women and women need men. That's part
we
of nutrition.
Do.
That's part of nutrition. That, you can't deny that all this marching. We can do it on it. No, strong,
no.
productive women need strong, productive men, just like strong, productive men need strong, productive women that both have something to lose. So they're in this together. There ain't no situation where it's a charity case or a child or a parent-child relationship. Well, one person has to be the father and the daughter, or the mother and the son, and they're both grown-ups, but a equal investment of time. And when you have that nurturing, then you can concentrate, because I think what's happening now, and you look at the divorce rates, you look at the way our people are eating this fast food, it ain't really even soul food no more. Even though we have a chapter in Urban Kryptonite, it's really the fast food, because people are eating now more fast food at an alarming rate than ever.
Yes.
So where that was a celebration when I was younger, that now is a daily operation now for people.
Mm-hmm.
You see stoves with cobwebs on them right now.
Yep.
Because people are eating out. They're eating here. Let's go here. Let's go to this fast food chain. Let's get this. Even the stuff that's supposed to be healthy for you, it's still going through a process. So we have to work on this balance. You know, my whole thing, you know, people try to condense our message into, well, we know about the food. Well, you got to understand, it's just more than that, homeboy or homegirl. It's more than just the food. You got to intake your words, the words that you're saying out of your mouth, the thoughts that you're thinking in your head, because you can initially, and me and Naila have talked about this, you can cast spells on yourself, on your food, in your life, in your loved ones. Do you remember what we were talking about, Dr. Naila? Because you really elaborated on that as well during one of our intimate conversations.
Well, you know, what I was thinking, though, while you were saying this just now, though, what I missed, because I grew up, you know, in the 50s and 60s, and we would all sit down to a meal together. My grandmother was the matriarch, you know, basically. My mother would work, and so I would stay with my grandmother. So my grandmother's tradition was, and she sort of had a rooming house, you know, where there was always extended family there. Well, she always made dinner, and breakfast and dinner were always sit-down times, and everybody, particularly dinner or supper, we sat down to supper at the table together, and we were able to vibe, and, you know, I didn't call it vibing back then, but now I realize, you know, there was a bond and a vibing that took place, and that's missing from most households today, because our society is moving at such a pace. As you said, everybody's doing fast food, and instead of it being a sometime reward or of something you do every now and then, that's the norm.
Yeah, you are what you
really
eat.
And it's really dangerous, because what is happening now is that you got, you know, my mom didn't, I was a child of the 70s and my brother was born in the 80s. Like, my mom told me, she said, you know, one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't breastfeed y'all. She said, if I would have known the benefits of breastfeeding, she was like, even if I wasn't able to do it but for 3 or 4 months, I would have done it. And, you know, at least we were vaginal deliveries, but I think about how a baby's first line of defense is usually coming through that vagina, that vaginal canal, and getting those probiotics. And then the colostrum and the breast milk, and the longer you're able to breastfeed, the more benefits that baby gets in regards to their immunity and their growth and their development and less ear infections and just countless other things. And you know, you have parents that are eating crappy, then they have these children and they don't breastfeed or they have a cesarean or both, and then they feed their children crap. And even with the organic pre-made baby food, it's got MSG in it, which
right.
is dangerous. And then they get bigger and you let them eat more junk. And then these parents act dismayed that they're sick all the time, or now they've been diagnosed with cancer, or they have all of these different ailments like diabetes or high blood pressure, and they're not even 16 yet. And it's like no one is passing on that knowledge and wisdom. And what the unfortunate thing is, my girlfriend, a labor and delivery nurse, she said in some instances when these young women are in the hospital and they deliver these babies and she's trying to teach them to breastfeed, it's the elders who are blocking them from doing that. Oh, nah, girl, you don't want to do that. That's inconvenient. Just give them formula. And it's like in some instances,
right.
you got young
yeah.
moms that want to do the right thing, but the support system is not there anymore.
That's right. That's right.
And to me, that's sad that you would hinder a mother from doing what the Most High intended for us to do naturally. And you would sabotage the health of your grandchild. And then our immunity is something that's passed down. So my immunity, once I have a child, is only going to be my baby's immunity. You know, they'll get the benefits of what I already had, plus me breastfeeding and so on and so forth. So that passes down. So what is happening, a lot of us are becoming genetically weaker, and the environmental
That's right.
toxins and the quality of the food we're eating is compounding with that. You know, I think about when I was a little kid, you didn't hear a whole lot about people having cancer, or they had it and they beat it. And then you got people in their 20s and 30s, they're dropping dead from stroke, heart attacks, cancer, aneurysms, all these things before they even turn 50. Like, it's getting to the point now, somebody dying and them being under the age of 65 is just becoming a little too commonplace. It's making me uncomfortable because when I think about brothers and sisters that die young, I'm like, they still have so many more years left in them. They have so much more potential. Like, what could they have accomplished? What type of legacies could they have left behind? And now that's been snuffed out. And I know we all have a time when we transition. I know we've contracted to be here to have certain experiences, but I can't help but have that cross my mind. And, you know, when these ailments come about, no one is, you know, doctors, they don't push nutrition, because if they push nutrition, you're not going to need to come to them anymore. So what they're going to do,
right.
they're going to put a Band-Aid on a cut that might require stitches. You know,
right.
they
find a way to help you live
like
with
a pill.
It.
So instead of telling you high blood pressure and diabetes can be controlled with diet, they'll just whip out their prescription pad because they get a kickback for that. Instead of telling you all
Absolutely.
Diseases can be managed and eliminated, they're going to give you chemotherapy because they get the biggest kickback for that. And we have
That's
to
right.
become more discerning as black people, because historically – we've had extensive medical apartheid happen in our community, and it's still happening. You know,
Let's
I have
talk
friends
about
that are in the medical industry, and they tell me that they watch the interaction with these white doctors and how they treat black patients versus white patients, and there's documentation that these Asian and these white doctors tend to be biased when they deal with us, while the black doctors tend to have a more neutral stance when they deal with people all across the board. Our lives literally are at stake for real. Like, it is not a game.
Mm.
You don't want someone
well,
with that type of mindset shaping your destiny.
Or your children.
No, absolutely. No, you don't.
Exactly.
And you need to be mindful of the fact that there are, you know, I'm probably one of the biggest conspiracy theorists, but I really believe that there are a lot of attempts to reduce the population, and now that we've, you know, become more expendable, and there's a lot more of technology that does the thing. You know, back in the day, we were needed. We, you know, necessity being the mother of invention, we ended up creating a lot of the things that made life easier because so that
mm-hmm.
our backs wouldn't be broken. So the need for us is not as high as it was, you know, 100 years ago or 150 years ago, 300 years ago.
I agree.
They don't really need us because technology, our technology, has outdid, you know, if you will, our usefulness from us, you know, outlived our usefulness. So I think that there are a lot of things that are happening, even down to the point of, now I'm getting into mind again, we can tell mm-hmm. people that the mind is so powerful that if
it
you
is.
Get a diagnosis, with a prognosis. For instance, you may be feeling fine, but then you go in for your annual whatever, and then the doctor says, oh, we think we see something on your lung, or we see a spot on your brain, or whatever they see,
right.
Or your breast. Mm-hmm. The tendency of the mind is to go and now create the outcome based
mm-hmm.
on what has been told us. And now a lot of times they will find that those people who will then succumb to, you know, the illness, when they then have an autopsy, they don't actually have the disease that they were diagnosed as having while they died from it, because it was in their mind. They created it. They create
mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's important for us to realize how important a tool our mind is. It creates
That's
our
right.
reality. It creates our health. It creates our wealth. It creates
mm-hmm.
our perception. Our self-perception base is so based
mm-hmm.
on what we think
mm-hmm.
and not allowing ourselves to be manipulated, if you will, by outside forces. And I think that happens. I know it happens across the board. But folks that look like us, you know, black and brown folks, we get it even more because I believe it's targeted.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I look at it like this. I was just going to say that, you know, that's getting back to the power of intention. Just like when that doctor tells you that you have cancer, or like, you know, Keisha Harris, who's in the Urban Kryptonite, and she told her story of how she overcame not only cancer, but radiation poisoning is what really almost took her out. You know, she was told she had 2 weeks to live. Yeah, the treatments. She was told that she had 2 weeks to live, and how mentally she had to prepare herself and reverse everything, because, like you said, your body and your mind will work together to create the outcome. The universe will get in sync with your body and mind. So we have
mm-hmm.
to use that
Absolutely.
Same power and harness that same energy to now start using it to our advantage to free ourselves, to create the better health. It's like they say, well, you got people that eat bad food. And my so-and-so, my grandmother, my grandfather, he still eat pork and he dying and something and something and something. Well, there's two things. Like Janine pointed out, their gene pool is more of the original source than yours.
Mm-hmm.
So, it, like you said, with every generation, it gets weaker and weaker. So if your grandfather smoked cigarettes and ate scrap bacon and all that, and he lived to be 80, you tried and see what happened. You won't live to be 55. And the person after you, they tried and see what happened. You won't live to be 35. Because
yeah.
you get weaker. It gets weaker and weaker because they're passing on the habits. And we got to get out of the habit of being self-destructive. And that's a personal
mm-hmm.
accountability thing. Before
it
we
is.
Even put the white man, before we put all that, we have to take personal accountability, because all this shit, especially when it comes to our health and our eating habits, nobody's controlling that to a certain extent. You know, nobody's really, you still have the power to try to balance yourself out. So I think the
Absolutely.
Main thing is we have to choose the best of the both worlds of poison, because they're going to continue, like Jameer pointed out, to distribute you the poison and the cure all in the same facility. Look at all the rules.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. And this is not about gloom and doom, because every time I turn around, you know, I'm finding out more and more information on how they're tampering with food. Take this information and be empowered. Like, herbs are Mother Nature's original medicine. We can counteract a lot of the environmental toxins and stress that is our bodies endure from being exposed to all these things, you know, by doing things like, you know, detoxes from Dahuti, or people like Dr. B, or, you know, I like some of the herbal formulas from the Forgotten Foods as well. You can do a detox, you know, every season, or at least once or twice a year. You can get colonic. You can exercise. You know, and you don't have to do these
mm-hmm.
crazy exercises like Insanity and P90X and all of that stuff, because that stuff is really not
That's right.
good for you anyway. You can do stuff like power walk. You can do
walking.
Push-ups and pull-ups and walk. And, you know, I have days, some days I walk anywhere between 10 and almost 20 miles. And I just use the
right.
app on my cell phone to track my steps. And people tease me because I walk so fast. When you look at my movements on the app, it actually looks like I'm jogging, but I'm a very tall person, so my stride is long. You know, things like that
right.
help. You know, stop being scared of getting darker because it's leaning towards summertime. The summer solstice is upon us. You need to build up your vitamin D reserves now, so that when
That's
we
right.
don't have a lot of sunshine in the winter, you're less likely to be vitamin D deficient, you're not as depressed and all those types of things. Now's the time to be out in the sun as much as you can, you know,
yes.
Try to get in it before 10 or after 4 when it's not beaming as much, because with our ancestors and people that live in tropical climates, they'll take a siesta somewhere in that window anyway and, you know, rest and relax, and then they'll go back to work. You know, stop buying into, you know, the whole sunscreen thing that everybody likes to jump bandwagons on. They've actually done studies that a lot of the chemicals in these sunscreens actually cause skin cancer. And
that's
it's
right.
Like, if you're going to do one, a good alternative is like a mineral-based one. You can look on the website for the Environmental Working Group and look up safe cosmetic things to put on your body and look at their rating and look at the ingredients. Or, you know, when you use certain natural oils, because I love butters in the winter, oils in the summer, some of those have a little bit of SPF in it. Another little known fact that a lot of people don't know, some of us, when we get sunburned, you know what that is? Eat really shitty. The toxins come to the surface of the skin, and the sun burns them. That's how you end up with sunburn.
Right.
One of the
go.
Ways to get internal SPF protection is load up on those raw fruits and veggies. Now's the time to be doing those green juices, those green smoothies, making different types of salads with homemade dressing or just with some lemon juice and olive oil, and getting as much of that in your system as you can, in addition to, like, the steamed veggies or whatever else, and eating less of the meat and the refined starches and the refined sugars. Make you a pitcher of herbal tea. Leave that Kool-Aid and that soda and that other mess alone. Or get you some
Absolutely.
Sparkling mineral water and cut it with some pomegranate juice if you want something with a little fizz. It's not hard to do this health thing, guys. You know, the more money you have, the more creative you might be able to get with certain things, you know, to buy some of these superfoods and stuff. But you don't even really have to have that. I'm tired of white people calling everything superfoods. Superfoods are real foods that aren't highly processed. So whether it's something
that's right.
with kale from the farmer's market or a seeded watermelon, those things are superfoods. And when you eat things that are in season, they also tend to be not as expensive. We shouldn't be buying strawberries in the wintertime. Part of the reason that our food supply is being tampered with so much is y'all are eating things when you should not be eating them. Now, frozen
out of season.
I can give you a
right.
pass on, but you should not be buying fresh strawberries in the dead of winter, and you live in the United States, unless you live in Florida or California and it's something a little different with the season, that makes absolutely no sense. And they taste like shit, and you know they taste terrible. You're just buying them because you're like, ooh, I like strawberries. They taste terrible. I've had melon in the dead of winter. It tastes awful. Now's becoming
right.
the time to have that. Peaches taste awesome this time of year. You know, one of the beautiful things about summer and spring is the best of the best is available at the farmer's market. And farmers markets are really not that expensive. We have to put a higher price tag on what we put in and on our bodies in terms of skincare, and less emphasis on the material stuff we can't take with us. You know, your body is like a house, and I've heard it said many times by different holistic practitioners, if you don't take care of your house, where will you live?
Absolutely.
You contracted to be here with this shell of a body. Make the most of it and take the best care of it that you can. Stop saying you're sick when you're fat. You're fat.
That's right.
If you don't want to do anything about it, it's fine. But if you want help, there's plenty of people that can help you. There are so many resources out here. You know, you got people sitting up here wasting their time watching hours and hours of footage of worldstarhiphop.com. But by the same token, there's a million websites on eating a plant-based lifestyle, traditional foods, paleo, gluten-free vegan, soy-free vegan. It's a million different things that you could be looking at that are far more constructive to your growth. You know, journaling, how to, you know, unplug from negativity, how to surround yourself with more like-minded people. There are all these resources, and people are focusing on all the wrong stuff. The Internet
That's
is a
right.
good thing, but it can be a bad thing. It's all in how you use it. And when I'm on Facebook and I have friends and they share stuff that's ratchet and degenerate and negative, you know what I do? I don't unfriend those people. I unfollow, and I start to click on more things that are positive, about positive thinking and plant-based diets and new vegan books that are coming out and stuff about pan-Africanism and black economic empowerment, because then
that
changes what pops up in my feed.
And that also changes.
I do the same thing with Instagram.
Yeah, and like you were saying, Janine, that also changes the energy. And what
it
we're
does.
Dealing about, like you said, is energy, because if you're trying to get that, I mean, this is the prime time now to get that healthy amount of negative ions in air, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And That's what we need to keep us healthy. We are tropical people, and, you know, wintertime just ain't for us. So if you're
it's
eating
not.
All this hybrid fruit, you're eating all this stuff that they've frozen from last year and putting back on the shelf because it's been injected, you know, mm-hmm. this is what's leading to these cancers. I mean, I just saw the other day they had a lotion out. Already they got a lotion. It was like for diabetic dry skin. The hell is that? I never heard of that before. But they said,
well, you know, when
food,
you eat a lot of salt and sugar, it dries your skin out.
Yeah.
It dries
but
your skin
are,
out.
They're already marketing.
Toxic.
Right. They're already marketing to the diseases that they're creating with this
mm-hmm.
degenerate diet that they're pushing, this,
mm-hmm.
this SAD that's being pushed.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to combat that, because everybody can't afford just to get up and move somewhere hot. Everybody
right.
can't just afford to start farming and get, you know, their own lawns and tractors. Even though we can talk about solutions, there are plots that you can visit. But
mm-hmm.
one of the things, like I said, we got to take it back to the mentality. The emotional has been the biggest component, especially with us Black folks, man. We are very emotional beings, especially when we deal with each other. We are very highly critical, judgmental. We don't question anybody else. They pass all types of laws. They got all types of food. Your children going to school eating all types of toxic. They won't question that. But you're going to make sure somebody don't short you out of $250 for something that ain't got nothing to do with your health. You know, we got to get back into getting our emotions balanced. And like Jamia says, the only way that you can balance out your emotion, if you are a woman, you have to get some positive male energy. If you are a man, I ain't talking about sex. I'm talking about the energy. You have to get people of the opposite sex around you. What are we doing right now on this phone call? We have a man and we have women working together to create an energy. This conversation is energy. This platform is energy. Like we're all feeding off of each other's energy. This is a part of nutrition. See, it's not just about the diet. You know, we got to get emotionally balanced. If all you talk to today is you're hating your homeboys and all they're doing is hating on women and objectifying women, then it's not going to be too long before your actions follow that. I mean, look at how we don't even look at each other no more. We look at each other just like the fast food menu. We
mm-hmm.
might as well go up to women and say, you know what, let me get a side of ass with, a plate of breast. I mean, we're talking about women just like you want a two-piece damn meal from your local chicken vendor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Women are talking, oh, girl, look at that six-pack. He just got reduced to a six-pack.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? We got to get the language right, and that comes from just being right. And when you be right with
mm-hmm.
yourself, it makes you a lot easier to be right with everybody else. It makes you a lot easier to make the correct food choices. It makes you a lot easier to make. It makes it a lot easier for you to make the correct sexual choices.
Absolutely.
Because a lot
Absolutely.
Of brothers are caught out. A lot of brothers and sisters are getting caught out here on this social media because
mm-hmm.
of choices that they are making. We no longer, if you are a certain, unless you're in the porn industry. Okay, but if you're a certain individual and you consider yourself a public figure, which we've all through this social media have become public figures in some way, because this is how they're
Absolutely.
Tracking us now, you have to be careful of even the energy that you put out on your social media now, because we live in an age of transparency. There's no more just what you do and it's going to be between me and you. People out here trying to come up because they don't want to do the work on themselves, and they damn
yep.
don't want to do the work. They damn sure don't want to do the work that the people that have put in the work do. So what do? They try to entrap you and get a jump up on the ladder off of you.
Absolutely.
You know?
They would like to ride the coattails. They don't want to pick the shear the sheet, spin the yarn and weave the coat, but they sure wanna ride the coattails.
Wanna wear it. They wanna wear
that's
it.
Right.
Wear it, honey. They be like, ooh, that's a fly jacket. Mm-hmm. I watched you while you make it. I was supporting you. Mm-hmm. Let me ride them coattails. Let me wear that.
You know,
so can we segue
this.
A little bit?
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I was
sure,
gonna,
sure.
Go ahead. What I wanted to
sure,
do
sure,
was
sure,
I want to
sure,
make
sure,
sure we get that spiritual piece in, because
sure.
you know it's you know in this age that we're in, you know, for those who are might be new to my show, really brief history of me. I was a mainstream pastor, apostle, for 10 years when I had an awakening, that I call awakening, an out-of-body experience that brought me into this more holistic, and I'm going to put my quote-unquotes up because you mentioned it, conscious, if you will, state of understanding, not only myself, but everything, not everything, but the things around me and my connection with it. I had a shift, I had a change. Whole congregation looked at me like I'd lost my last mind, left, this was about 5 years ago. And, you know, I've been on a journey, haven't looked back. The world is a lot larger than it was when I was stuck in a mainstream. But, you know, still my sense of spirituality has changed to include my connection with everything, not just my clan, not just me and my denomination and all that, but I am connected spiritually to everything. I feel that, and I know I've been a lot of things, like you mentioned, you know, quite a few times, you know, we contract to come and not just one time, but multiple times have we been here, and that's not what we normally learn in you know, mainstream religions. So, you know,
that's
spiritually,
right.
Though, I see another, if you will, paradigm shift, a major. I saw it when I was still in it, but I didn't know it until I got out of it that that's what I was talking about. I guess I was being pulled energetically to another level, and when it happened when I least expected it in a way that just totally rocked my world. One thing I said about shifts, everybody was running around going, you know, shift happened, shift. And they, you know, we were saying that it was sort of a cliche. I said, but everybody's talking about the shift, but nobody wants to deal with the aftermath. Because
that's
when
right.
there is an earthquake or, you know, and things are shaken up and tossed hither and yon, you have to deal with the aftermath. Spiritually now, people are waking up, but they
that's
don't
right.
know what to.
Did we lose the sister? She was flowing from the scroll.
Yeah, what
okay.
happened?
Okay. I don't know, but, you know, I'm just going to echo this. Hopefully she's able to cut back in. She's exactly right. She's exactly right, though. Spiritually, I like what Dr. B said, and that was in one of his lectures. He was like, you know, to be spiritual is to be spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're growing and you're expanding. And when you're growing and expanding, you can prepare yourself for the shifts, whether it be a shift in your finances, whether it be a shift in your relationship. What we want to do is stop preparing for the worst and start planning for the best.
Absolutely.
And I think this is what, you know, when we deal with each other, everybody comes with everybody's a suspect to proven innocent mentality now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that energy really needs to come from another plane when we're dealing with each other as individuals. You know,
mm-hmm.
back to that diet, back to your finances, because a lot of people think that it's bad that if you're righteous, you're not supposed to have any money.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Well, poor righteous teachers, why cast these spells on yourself? You know.
Yeah. And that's
so
the same to me, because you can do more and be more with more money. You are the same person with money. What happens when you have a lot of money? All it's doing is bringing out things that were already in you. So if you're a really horrible person with a lot of money, that was already in you.
That's
you
right.
You don't magically become evil because you have goo gobs of money. Your true
that's
character
right.
and nature are actually revealed once you get goo gobs of money. Money is a tool and an energy to do whatever we wish. If I had an unlimited supply of money, I would shower my friends and loved ones with gifts. I would travel all around the world. I might buy a private island. I'd be fully stocked to the brim with every holistic product under the sun. I wouldn't be using that to, like, murder people and create mayhem. I'd be thinking about how to consistently do stuff in a sustainable way so I don't hurt the environment and displace people from their homes. Like, there's a lot that I would do if I had more money. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I get tired of
Absolutely.
People trying to act like it's righteous to be poor. It's disgusting to think that way. You're a horrible person because you should want better for your children and make the necessary sacrifices so they don't have to struggle like you struggle. That's the lazy way out, to think you're going to coast and be mediocre and your true reward is in heaven. That's disgusting.
Well, you know, and to those that subscribe to theory, you know, I always want to say, you know, you also have to offer alternatives. And that's what I think we're at now. People are starting to wake up to alternatives. that they no longer have to follow this path that has been laid out for them, that if your intentions and your spirit are in line with your mind, body, and soul, that you can carve out your own niche in this world, you know.
Right.
But I think we lost a good doctor. I think she got knocked off the show. She's just hit me up, said she's trying to get back on the call. But
oh my goodness.
I think what I want to do right now, Janiyah, is let's kind of give the people some solutions, because we've got coming up, you know, we've got the Urban Kryptonite film screening and lecture series that's coming up in Tennessee, and then also the last screening will be in Richmond, Virginia on August 8th, and in Tennessee we're doing June 27th. And you can check urbancryptonitefilms.com/screenings for that information. But with these, you know, what me, brother Cochise, and Tahuti have put together is pretty much what we call paying it forward to the people. And a shout out to the good sister Ebony Campbell of the group Rise Up RVA. She will actually be hosting that event with us, and just a little bit of information about them. You know, they're here in the Richmond, Virginia area, and they're basically a social advocacy, you know, form, you know, to empower the community. And they've been doing a lot of stuff. They've had Dr. Kaba down here, or Booker T. Coleman from Hidden Colors, and so forth. But all of this is what the good doctor was saying is people are starting to wake up. So instead of bringing their favorite rapper here, and these are young individuals that form up Rise RBA here in the city, instead of bringing your local rappers in or something that's totally low level, people are waking up and realizing that they have to humble themselves to not only recruit help but receive help. And that's why you're seeing all of these documentaries. That's why you're seeing all of these lectures. And that's why you're seeing shows like this, Reawakening the Minds, coming up. This is an energy.
Yeah.
Spirituality is an energy. And for all the people that, you know, I was able to free myself as a result of investing in myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to get up off of your ass. There is no ifs, ands, buts about it. Like we said in Urban Kryptonite, sitting behind a keyboard ain't going to do it. I mean, Janiyah, you know how I travel. You know, so sitting behind a keyboard ain't going to do it. You have to actually get out and touch people and touch positive people. And, you know, negative people, you have to curtail them where they may be needed. But I think I'm going to get up off of my soapbox. But did you want to kind of elaborate on the spirituality thing, Janiyah? Because I think she really touched on something with that.
Definitely. I do think there's been a paradigm shift. I really think that people are starting to realize if we are made in the Most High's image, that means that we have the capacity to be the change that we want to see. And
right.
So with that being said, many of us are not externalizing our power anymore. We realize that we are actually more in control.
Okay, great. I'm sorry.
We were holding it up.
No,
I can hear you. No, I was listening. I just wasn't in the flow. But go ahead. I'm so sorry.
I think a lot of us are beginning to realize that we are more in control of our destinies than we give ourselves credit for. We are not powerless. You know, and just kind of having this old caution to the wind and hoping that things will work out. You know what I mean? I think that more people are beginning to realize that, you know, if they change their mindset and actually start to put efforts and actions forth, add paired with that mindset, that like some real magic will begin to happen. If you don't like your current situation, it's about shifting that mindset and coming up with a concrete plan on how to move past that and putting it into action. And I'm seeing more and more where people are like, you know, the church doesn't serve me anymore. I don't want
right.
to identify mm-hmm. with the label of being Christian. You know, I've bounced around between Islam and the 5% Nation and this and that.
Right.
And you know what I'm finding? I'm okay with not having a label. I know that when I step outside, I walk into myself because I am connected with nature. And I don't have to go in a structure that serves some sort of religious purpose to prove my connection to that is bigger than me, because I am a part of it and it is a part of me.
That's right, man. I mean, we're always looking at, I think what is happening is people are always looking outside of themselves for the solution.
Yeah.
And what, you know, what we're doing with these films, what we're doing with these audios, what we're doing with everything is we're, I'm promoting going back within yourself. You know, because when I left the corporate structure, I really had to do some soul surfing. There was no more of that safety net that was there. I really had, it was on and popping, as they would say. You know, so I really had to dig within and say, okay, I'm a grown man, you know. I have to really figure out how I'm going to take care of myself, how I'm going to sustain. And that took a lot of spiritual alignment. And that's something that, that's basically what we're talking about. When you implement the diet, when you implement positive relationships with both the opposite sex and same sex, because I like to see women that can get along with women too. You know, I like to see men that can get along with their brothers too. It's not just about getting along with the opposite, but we got to be able to build and create with the same as well when it comes to conducting productive things and manifesting in our life. All of that is part of this spiritual realignment. Like, you take, people take better care of their cars than they do their spirit and their harmony. And you got to protect your harmony at all costs necessary, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to control whether you're borderline or over the hell thing of terminal, whether you're terminal in your finances, whether you're terminal in your relationship or marriage. It's that balance of that energy. And you're not going to be able to do it all by yourself. You're not. And that's why we recruit some help. That's why we got shows like this, Reawakening the Mind. But go ahead, Doctor.
What I was going to say is just, you know, and it kind of, I guess, feeds into what you're saying about we need help. Again, the person I heard, you know, didn't look like you and I, but, you know, still you can take wisdom for what it is. And one of the things I heard is that we all need our own tribes, and not a tribal system, but you need those who will support you. You don't need a lot of people in your circle who are going to be negative and always doubting you when you decide, when you come up with your next great idea or your next innovative thing that you want to do, or when you decide to, if you will, break out of some, you know, paradigm that you've been stuck in, and they try to keep you in it. You need your own tribe. Everyone needs a supportive tribe. So we need that. We need like-minded individuals who will support our efforts to be the co-creators that we have been made to be. And I heard you talk about it. We are always looking outside of ourselves for the solution, and it is definitely an inside job. It's definitely there. And that's one of the reasons, you know, one of the things I had, the problems I have with, say, religious, you know, ideologies, is that a lot of the so-called, you know, he's coming back deadlines have passed, and nobody seems to notice, you know. So if things were supposed to have happened 15 years or so ago, and they still yet, you know, have not happened, and now you're not saying almost 2,000 years ago, now you're just saying over 2,000 years ago, you don't realize that there must be something to what was said that was not true. And you need to start looking inside yourself for the solution. The last place that has not been explored, not outer space. If you take a picture of, you know, the astronauts take a picture when they go out, you know, out what we call outer space, and you see that Earth is just as out of space as all the, any of the other planets. The inner space within you and me, we don't explore that. That's the last frontier tier, inner space.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to say, too, I think a lot of the religious texts have been misconstrued. I think a lot of what's said, we've taken it out of context and taken it literally, and a lot of it is tied to the inner self. Like the idea, I'll give you a prime example. There's a church I occasionally go to. It is a metaphysical Christian church, and I've been 2 years in a row for Easter. Now, when you hear people talk about the resurrection, they take it literally. And they carry on about he is risen and this and that and the third. Now, both years when they've done the sermon, and it really resonated with me, and I've always felt this way, even though I knew I couldn't convey it because I grew up in Richmond down south and I would have gotten smacked upside the head, was it talked about the resurrection being tied to the human experience and how though we may stumble and fall and make all sorts of mistakes, we're always given the chance to do it over again. Each day.
That's right.
Is the equivalent of getting the chance to start over and start anew. So instead of being so focused on our past or what might happen in the future, stay present.
We got to live in the moment.
You have to be present in the moment. Yeah.
You have to.
And you know what? And I see it even, I take it a step further that, you know, I see the Bible more as an astrotheological compendium of things that happened and that our ancestors were able to observe what was happening in the sky. So, again, in the skies and the heavens, when the sun each day, you know, morning by morning, that becomes those new mercies because the sun was such a healer, was such a protector. It helped the crops to grow.
Yeah.
It kept people warm.
Absolutely.
It kept you from danger. You could see your way. And that then also became a way that we could tie it into our own human experience, just like the sun rises and sets. But, you know, morning by morning, like you said, new mercies, new chances. But still remaining in the now. You can't go back. You can't go forward. As a matter of fact, you learn metaphysically that we're all of it is all compressed into what we call now.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Because time
That's
is
exactly
an illusion.
Right.
This realm that we're
Absolutely.
In is making us believe that time, you know, is concrete and finite when in fact it's not. Because when you go beyond this realm and you go in outer space, none of that makes a difference. And I think if we would learn to break free of some of these paradigms instead of being so worried about what people are going to think of us or
That's
how
right.
we're going to be perceived or whether people are going to think we are crazy. And in the eating better and changing your mindset, your intuition will become enhanced as well.
Oh,
so what will happen
is
you'll see a lot of synchronicities in your life. Like you'll walk down the street and you'll see numbers in a certain sequence. You'll hear pieces of conversations that have nothing to do with you but are tied to stuff that you has been weighing heavy on your mind and you've asked for answers. You know, you might hear a spirit guide or an angel whisper something to you, giving you confirmation on something. And I think what has happened is because we're so distracted by so many things and that's been done intentionally, we don't go within to do the much-needed spiritual work to ensure that we're on the right path, going in the right direction. And this is why so many of us have such a hard time in life, and then we make excuses that it's of the devil and whatever else. And a lot of that struggle is tied to us not really being concrete and on the path to our true life purpose and the legacy
That's right.
we're supposed to leave. And so what happens is the universe initially taps you on the shoulder and is like, hey, girl, hey, girl, hey, girl, and then it smacks you in the back of the head and it knocks you to your knees and then it stomps you with steel-toed boots. And you're like, I'm sorry, I get it, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? And that's what I think is a lot of what happens to us in life is we ignore those signs and signals out of fear
right.
of what people may think or how are we going to survive and this and that. And we don't realize that if we leap, we have to trust the parachute will open and the universe has our back.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know that for a fact. You know, it was real easy to backpedal when you get opposition. But if you truly believe in or know, because, you know, that's another thing. I try to not be a believer anymore, and I work on being a knower. You know, some things you just have to know. And when you know it, there's nothing that anyone can do to change what you know to be true. And so they can't scare you. You know, they can't threaten you with, you know, disassociation and you can't disassociate me when I'm already connected to everything. You can't do that.
That's right.
So you may not want to talk to me, or you may not want to give me, you know, your peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Brother Taj Tariq Bey always uses the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But you may not want to give me a piece of your sandwich, but you can't disfellowship me from humanity and from, you know, just from being a part of the all that is all. And that's what people have to realize. You know, you can't be disconnected from your source. You may not have the awareness that you're connected, but you're still connected nonetheless. And so spiritually, for me, I don't have to be in a building. I don't have to go to a certain place at a certain time like I did ritualistically for all those years. All I have to do is be. I am. And because I am, I understand, I feel, and know my spiritual connection with everything. And so that extends, like you said, you know, to plant life and, you know, knowing that sometimes I just need to take my shoes off and walk barefoot, foot to the earth, you know, on the grass and pull up the energies of the earth. Or, like you said, to drink in the sun. I posted yesterday, I was at Odunde, and I mentioned I got earrings, I got dress, and I got an increase. I said increase in melanin. I didn't say I had a tan. I said I got an increase in melanin. You got to know what's good for you. You have to be, you know, you're connected to everything and be respectful and mindful. That's why, you know, becoming more, like I said, plant-based and vegan. Now you're not, you know, killing an animal, and when you eat a plant, you know that it's eventually going to go back into the ecosystem and it keeps on living. I mean, just a lot of things that we have to learn and be respectful of to be in harmony, to put things back in balance in the universe. And this whole discussion, this is something that needs to take place on a global scale with our people, globally, because we have been a part of a wholesale, I'm conspiratorial, so I really, it's a conspiracy, though, to just get us to, you know, just self-destruct.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do it. You know, and I feel like you two are two people who are not, if it's anything that we can do, it seems like us three here, now I know there are others, but us three create this sort of, you know, I want to call it like a triangle or whatever of truth, if you will, and that the energy that we're beaming out right now all across the airwaves, even though no one has called in and we didn't even open the lines, it's a little bit confusing today, but I believe people are getting it.
That's right.
You have to believe.
Yeah.
I know. First of all, let me correct it. I know people are getting it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and it's funny you say that because, you know, people hit me right now. You know, a shout out to the sister Tracy Croon out there. She was just saying an example of that is she was able to fix her son's health. He was suffering from allergy issues due to just changing her diet, due to feeding him better food. So, what am I getting at when I say all this stuff? Because we can really go into all the subcategories. But I did a show, you know, on solitude, which is my sort of vent space, and it was called The Fear of Loss. And when we think about it, you know, that's what it is. Everyone's operating on the fear of loss because that's what it is when you're stressed and when society is basically programming you to operate on the fear of loss. You know, you don't want to lose your sex drive. You don't want to be one. So it's when you plan or when you operate off the fear of loss, and I shared this in my show, you actually lose more. But when you stride and you move in the confidence of gain, you get it all.
Yep.
Don't worry about what people think about you. Don't worry about if they think what you're doing is crazy or if they think that they're smarter than you, because you got people that are actually smarter than you in certain specialized areas, and then you have people that think that they're smarter than you.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? It's a big difference in theory, but like you said, you know, Nayla, is that we have to get back into synchronicity with self, and once you get back into synchronicity with self, everything else becomes that much easier. But we have to eliminate this bad food. Toxicity in any form is a distraction. And that's why I ride and I bang so hard on people just making the right choices, because it's distracting you from getting free. It's distracting you from having that relationship that you need. It's distracting you from that wife or that husband because you don't want to give up your toxic ways. And you think you're going to be toxic. People are so selfish, they think they're going to continue to be toxic but still get blessed at the same time. Fear and God, fear and God cannot dwell in the same space. I'm sorry.
Nope.
Yeah. So you're going to have to sacrifice. There's going to have to be some sacrifice. But what were you saying? What were you about to say, Doc?
I was going to say, well, Sister Janair, you mentioned about being, you know, natural for, you know, the last decade, and I think probably I have been too. But it's interesting, though, again, you know, I being so distrustful and thinking about what other people might think to do, when the natural hair phenomena kind of, you know, became what it is today, I thought, you know what, now all of a sudden all of these mainstream manufacturers are coming up with all of these natural hair care products. I mean, what would you do if you wanted to get a group of people and perhaps, you know, make them sicker, if you will, if you know that everybody's going after these so-called natural products, you begin to go into that business. And instead of, again, buying from the sisters who are, I call them kitchen magicians, who are making it, you know, in their kitchen, now we go to, like, Procter & Gamble. How can you trust them? How can you trust the chemicals that are in these products?
Yeah.
That they're not using, you know, putting things in knowing that they're geared to people of color, people with of our ethnicity and so forth. So I wrote a poem in my book, and I just want to share it because, you know, I need 2 seconds of fame. It's called I'm going to see if I can recite it. I can see if I – but it's one of the ones that I've done at hair shows, and it's called Hair Care. It says, remember the time when the only thing on our minds was how long or straight our hair was, so much so we'd do anything to get more, even buying fake hair from the corner Asian store. We couldn't see our true beauty. No one really did, so we value each other by the hair on our head, and not just our hair, but skin and features too, because a standard was set that we tried to live up to. Male and female, we bought the lie and put it in our heads, not realizing years later many would be dead from the very thing we thought would make us so much more. We became victims of a chemically waged biological war. We didn't know our true worth, so some thought they could score, and manufacturers began reeling us in more and more with, your hair needs more shine, and your hair needs more swing, and we got just a product that can do the darn thing. But now we realize that we are of royal stock, and true beauty suits us to a T. And the lips, tits, butts, and pans that some have to buy are things we get for free. And we are through with relaxers and products that burn. We're proudly wearing our hair natural because finally it's our turn to rock our locks, twist outs and fros, and yes, even our wash and goes. Does anyone else see the transition? Can you feel it in the air that after all these years of chemical bondage, there's been a revolution from hair cares?
Mm. Oh, that is beautiful.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah,
that
it was beautiful.
Beautiful.
I like that.
That was
but
beautiful.
But it touches on,
that.
You know, yeah, how we've gone. Well, it's in my book. It's in my book.
That's
Poetry
right.
Is the Music of Another Cup of Writer, yes. But you know, but it touches on really, you know, I looked back on a high school picture, graduation picture. I
right.
didn't have my own hair in the picture on. You see what I mean?
Wow.
You know, that was the 70s. But, you know, we didn't love ourselves. You know, we didn't see the beauty of who we are back then, and now we are embracing our true self. And I think it's important, you know, to make that, drive that home to somebody who still may think, you know, that what they see on TV or what they see on a magazine is the epitome of what they need to strive for. No, you need to be the best you that you can be in mind, body,
absolutely.
And spirit.
Absolutely.
Quintessentially you. You need to be quintessentially
absolutely.
Yourself.
And authentic,
I
as I call it. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Right.
I just had to, you know, I felt
no,
like, you know,
okay.
that kind of
no.
went a little bit with what.
No, that's, you know, we are, you know, we always get in the spirit. And that's why, I mean, I had such a good time on the last show, and that's why I said we had to do it again, and I'm glad that we were able to sort of induct the good Sister Jania's energy into this vibe. I think it was a perfect fit. But, you know, as always, you know, Nyla, we have real talk. That's what this platform is
yes.
about, because like you said, we've run out of the grace period for the games.
Yes.
You know, we've run out of the grace period. The mask is off now. These people are deliberately doing this, and the destruction is deliberately being performed in front of you now as a play or a movie.
Yeah.
So we have to carry ourselves in the same pattern. We cannot BS each other anymore. We have to be live and direct, and we have to really be self-accountable and really come up with resolutions, not sit around and complain, but come up with resolutions, and not only come up with them, but apply them skillfully so that we can be truly free in spirituality and our health and our wealth and our relationships, our finances. And once we've taken care of that, now we can get back to the creators that we once were. Now we can get back to the creators and innovators, because like you said, we're still going off that same technology that we had back in the day. Now it's time for these crystal beings that we're becoming to create some new systems, and we need to start first by creating our own belief systems.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, in our last 10 minutes, I want to make sure that the listeners know how, Sister Janier, how to get in touch with you. For instance, can you give the website, email address, phone number, whatever you want the listeners to have in order to contact you? Please take the few minutes now and let us know how we can contact you.
Oh, absolutely. In terms of my social media info, you can find me on Pinterest as J.D. Bailey. On YouTube, I'm also J.D. Bailey. On Twitter, I am Miss_JGirl5. On Facebook, I'm Janier Bailey. And on Instagram, I'm MissJGirl5. If anyone wants to reach out to me for a private consultation, they can email me at jdb111enterprises@gmail.com for additional details.
And what I'm going to try to do is see if I can, on the back end, hopefully this is being recorded, we can put some information up on, along with the show, with the recording, so that contact information. So make sure that I get it, and then I'll make sure that if we can, that we will post it. And with you, Saladin, you want to talk about how you can be contacted. I know you mentioned a little bit about what's going on with Urban Kryptonite. Also, how can we get, the video? The documentary. It's a 4-hour documentary. Am I correct?
Yeah, a lot of info. Yeah, very comprehensive project. Yeah, you can reach me. I'm on social media, both Instagram and Twitter, at Salatude. That's SALAHTUDE. I'm also on Facebook, Saladin.Assad, YouTube, Style Connected Vision. You can also go to www.urbankryptonitefilms.com. And purchase the film. Shout out to my brother Coach East Rock Sop, Urban Kryptonite, African Roots, Foreign Diseases. And we'll actually be doing, for the people that check this broadcast, within about 24 hours, I'm going to be putting up a promotional discount code. And I'm going to tag it on my site under this promotion picture for the show. And you can also reach me on styleconnected.com. I have my podcast, Solitude. And you can also check Miss J Girl on styleconnected.com too. She is the head writer and blogger and article for the blog lounge as well. And you need to also, Dr. Teller, tell us more about how people can get that book. Now, you kind of grazed over the book.
Yes,
that is a great book. How can people get that book of poems? Because I was able to get an autographed copy when I was down in Atlanta from the good brother A.J. Brown and his wife, Maisha.
Right, and I appreciate them getting that to you. Actually, I'm sort of a self-promoter, but if you email me at Naila, N-A-I-L-A-H, Gilliam, G-I-L-L-I-A-M, all one word, Naila Gilliam at gmail.com, I will get a book to you. I'm on Facebook. I have about 4 pages. I'm Dr. Naila Gilliam, Naila Gilliam, House of Reawakening Minds. You can find me at any of those places, as well as on Instagram. It's iReal, R-E-A-L-I-S, E-Y-E-S, iRealize on Instagram. But if you want the book, just email me, drop me a line at nailagilliam@gmail.com, and you can get it through PayPal. But thank you so much, for your critical review of it. I mean, it wasn't critical, but the fact that you gave me some props,
right.
I appreciate it.
No, it's well-deserved. And I'd be remiss if I didn't give a shout up to my brother Tahuti Matra out there in Los Angeles. We'll all be on the 27th of this month. Shout out to Crochet Me and the good sister Sharice Cox, who's putting together the event in Memphis, Tennessee. It's going to be a screening and symposium for the film Urban Kryptonite, and that's going down at the 1524 Event Center. And so you can go to Urban Kryptonite Films again. You'll also get to meet Janier here as well when we do it again here. It'll be the last final screening of the film in August. So a lot of cool stuff going on, and we will continue to build. And we need to do this every week, ladies. What you think?
I'd be down for it. I also forgot to mention my products, Naila.
Okay.
I don't know how I forgot. Yeah, and I sell on Saladin's site, I make a lip butter and a nail oil. The name of my company is Naturalux, and it's vegan. I use exotically sourced ingredients, no shea butter, like Sukuma butter, Alipe butter, Sasha Inchi oil, Moringa oil, those types of things, and I incorporate them in my products. The Nail Elixir is a strengthening nail oil, and it's also beneficial for dry cuticles and damaged nails.
Okay, and that's on the site?
Yes, it is. It's under health-related essentials.
And that's on the www.styleconnected.com site as well.
Yes, in addition to looking at my content on the blog lounge.
Well, you know, we want the listeners to avail themselves of all of that information. You know, contact Brother Saladin, Sister Janair. You can contact me. Also, I am a Reiki practitioner. I know that Sister Janair, you do a lot of different things. So I am available for consultations. I do spiritual consultations, energy healing. I just talk. So, you know, sometimes really neat things come out of my mouth when people come and they want to hear information. I just allow myself, if you will, to be a channel for wisdom. Be a channel because I know it's coming from somewhere higher than me, but that's good. It's good when you know it's coming from somewhere. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So there's a lot of ability here on the line. And so those who are listening, please, hopefully you took down our contact information and hopefully you will continue. If this is your first time listening to High Frequency Radio, which is really an awesome radio network, Brother Yusef L., who is the founder of this network, is actually traveling. But there is a lot of information, a lot of different hosts who can teach you about anything from trust to, and I know Sister L., I want to give a shout-out to her because she is in the background helping out at the last minute. She got my show on. Sister, I love you, love you, love you. I am actually going to learn how to do this myself. It necessitates it that I'm going to have to if I'm going to continue to have a show. But I just want to thank also Brother Paul Savage L., who was the reason why I am actually on High Frequency Radio Network. He was reading an excerpt from my book for about 6 months to a year before I even came on the network, and he's like, "Sister, we need your energy. People love this thing that I'm reading from your book. We need you on here." So I appreciate that. I appreciate all of the listeners because I get a lot of love from the listeners, and they understand when we have these little technical glitches. So please,
right.
You know, continue to stay with us. Next week, my usual, at least once a month, sometimes twice a month, co-host, Brother Tawari Chika, who is a master astrologer to the stars, is going to be on with me. He will give you a reading. You can email him in advance at 14love@gmail.com, but I will send it out soon so you'll know the correct email address. But if you don't get the email to him, send him your date of birth, time and place and all that in advance, you'll be able to do it actually on the show on Monday, and he will give you a mini reading. His mini readings are kind of long, but they're still mini readings because he does extensive readings. He's read for India Irie, Ananda Lewis, and others, and he's awesome. So please, I want to thank you again, thank my guest again for
Absolutely.
Being with me. Yes, we have to do
oh,
this
and
again.
Good sister.
Yeah.
I got one thing.
Yeah.
I'd be remiss. I'm sorry. Pardon the interruption.
That's
the
okay.
Big brother, James Thornhill, here in Richmond, Virginia, he's the artist that painted the murals of Marcus the Messiah Garvey here. They're having a Health Vanguard Ranch National Gourmet Festival on the 28th here, and it's
okay.
going to be in Gordonsville, Virginia. It's the Vanguard Ranch National Gourmet Festival. So if anybody can make it out, please do.
All right. You heard it right here. Thank you. We're out of time. Going to have you guys back soon. And as always, you are listening to Reawakening Minds, where we are reawakening minds one mind at a time. Are you awake yet? Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Peace.
Peace.